Yesterday we talked about the Good Shepherd. Today we want to talk about the Comforting Shepherd as we continue to look at Psalm 23. But as I look at you, I think some of you are rather cold this morning. Some of you, of course, are like I am, short sleeve shirt, and you're very, very happy with this kind of weather. But others are wearing jackets and, you know, you're trying to keep warm. But, you know, it's really not very cold here, is it? You know, I thought I'd show you a few pictures from our trip to the U.S. earlier this year. So this is one of the scenes that we saw as we were traveling along to visit, altogether we were in about a dozen different churches. So it was a good time to be able to minister there. But yes, we did see snow. You know, people have asked us, you know. And as a matter of fact, here's one of our Bible Presbyterian churches, the Armor Bible Presbyterian Church in Orchard Park. Orchard? Yeah, that's the name, Orchard Park. It's in Orchard Park, New York. And you can see there, too, we had a fair amount of snow as we were there in this particular day. And for that matter, on Sunday morning, even the roads were about as bad as we saw during our particular trip. Most of the time the roads were good, the main roads were fine, but if we got some of the smaller roads, you know, towards closer to the church, the roads did have a little bit of snow on there, and, you know, you can see this looks like kind of three tracks, you know, we all share the middle track in driving. So if you had a car coming from the other side, you had to kind of watch out. But, you know, everything worked well, and we thank God for your prayers as we traveled, because I think a lot of you would not feel very comfortable driving on these kind of roads. And you do have to watch out. There was only really 2 days that we had to really be careful. That was this day, the Sunday morning when we went to Armor Church, and then we had been invited for dinner on a Saturday night by a family. And it started snowing while we were having dinner, and at night the roads got a little bit slippery, but we only had about 1 mile or so to travel on these roads, and then we got on the big highway, the interstate highway, and from there on it was fine. So the Lord's been very good to us. We traveled altogether about 4,000 miles, so that's what, about 6,500 kilometers in round figures. So we did a fair amount of driving while we were there. We really thanked the Lord for keeping us safe. It's a good thing that I like to drive. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy driving, especially when we have cruise control on a long trip like coming down here. So, but, you know, yeah, I thought I'd show you that because, in a sense, you know, as we go on here with Psalm 23, we do talk about paths of righteousness. You know, you think about some of these paths and some of these roads. But, you know, here we go. You know, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And we'll look at each verse in kind of like in two sections. So we first want to talk about that phrase, he restoreth my soul. Now, again, going back to my time in the United States, when I first went there in 1960, you know, most of the cars were still very big. Petrol was very cheap. You know, back, I know, I can remember filling up my car for $2, you know, and that was once a week. I put about $2 worth of petrol in the car. Of course, we bought our first house for less than $21,000. So, you know, things were a little bit different, you know, about 50 years ago than they are today. But, you know, when we had these cars, instead of having bucket seats in the front, it was, for the American cars, usually a full bench seat. And they may have had some of these cars here in Australia as well. So you could get three people in the front, three people in the back seats. You know, that was normal. Today you can get five in. But back in those days, it was usually six people in a car. So if there was only two people in the front seat, well, the driver, of course, had to sit behind the wheel. But the person next to the driver could either, you know, sit in the middle or sit way over. So if you had couples, you know, the girl would usually move towards the middle of the car, you know, to get closer to the fellow there, you know. There was one couple, you know, and the wife complained to the husband. She said, you know, before we got married, we were sitting so close together, but look at how far apart we are now. And the husband said, well, I'm still sitting on the same space. You know, it's the wife that had moved, you know, from the middle to the side of the car. But, you know, that's a problem, isn't it? Sometimes we kind of drift apart that way. I'm not saying that their marriage was in trouble, mind you. You know, but just that it was an interesting comment, you know. She said, we're not sitting as close as we used to. But this is one of the things, you know, sometimes people lose their close relationship. And sometimes with Christians also, you know, it is possible to lose that closeness that you at one time had with the Lord. And, you know, David, of course, had that particular problem as well. You know, so this is one of these things with King David. He had lost his closeness with God. In particular, of course, as you think about it, there would be that situation with Bathsheba. You know, and certainly that affected his relationship with God. David was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder, and that affected his relationship with God. And the prophet Nathan, of course, brought that out very clearly to King David. You know, and David, of course, repented. And that's the thing. You know, Psalm 51. And, you know, as I was looking through that, you know, to see, can I highlight just one or two verses? But it's actually very difficult to highlight just one or two verses in this psalm because there is so much in it. You know, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, says David. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. You know, against thee only have I sinned. That's a very interesting statement, by the way, because you might say he sinned against Uriah the Hittite, that he sinned against Bathsheba, but here he says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So he recognized that his sin was not just against man, but was actually a sin against God in his adultery and in his murder. So, you know, he goes on, I've shapen iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop. But then also he expressed confidently, I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, he restoreth my soul. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we could go on, but I think this is enough to see that in the case of David, though he had lost his closeness to God through sin, but he repented of his sin. He asked the Lord to forgive him, and he asked the Lord to restore him. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I wonder, you know, as we're here, if you have lost your closeness with God. That's possible. You know, whatever situation it is, you're not as close to the Lord now as you used to be. Now you first got saved. You know, sometimes I see this happening. People first get saved and they're so excited. Now I'm a Christian now. If I die, I go to heaven, you know, and I'm going to read my Bible. And they start out very faithfully reading their Bible. When I first became a Christian, you know, I said, I must read my Bible now. And I said, what shall I do? And I have nobody to guide me. Nobody told me what to do. So I said, well, I'll just begin in the beginning, Genesis. And let me see. Okay, 5 chapters a day should be just about nice. So I started out 5 chapters a day in Genesis, which was quite interesting. But then, you know, as one of you commented, you know, when you get to Leviticus, you know, it gets a little bit hard, you know. But I stuck with it, and I read through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then you get the interesting part again in the historical books and Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, you know, which of course is in a sense a repetition of what you've already read in Samuel and Kings anyway, you know. And then sometimes you get bogged down in those major prophets, you know, 66 chapters, so long, Isaiah, before you finish that. By the way, the more I read Isaiah, the more I appreciate it. You know, it's such a fascinating book, you know. You get to the minor prophets, you know, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. You know, and that's easy. I learned that when I was about 7, you know, in Dutch, of course. But, you know, I went to a Christian school. We have to memorize all these things. So, but, you know, I stuck with it, and I finished reading the whole Bible. But it would have been better if somebody had told me, why don't we just start with the New Testament, you know, rather than the Old Testament. But that's all right. You know, but people first become Christians, they're so excited about their faith. You know, so wonderful. We had one guy, I never met him, by the way, but his name was Jimblas. J-I-M-L-A-S. I'd never heard of that name before. But he made that up when he became a Christian as an acrostic. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. So he called himself Jimblas. Unfortunately, by the time I passed at the church, Jimblas was nowhere to be found. And, you know, never went to church anymore or anything like that. So whether he ever was a Christian, I have my doubts. But he certainly acted like he did. But you know, there is that danger that we lose that close fellowship with the Lord. But if you have, remember David, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David confessed his sins to the Lord. The Lord forgave him. And you know, David, we know him as a man after God's own heart. You know, so David was right with the Lord. But he had to confess his sins. He needed to be restored. And sometimes the Bible conference is good for that, for people like us. You know, you've been going on and on and on. And, you know, life is so busy. There's so many things happening. Pastor Mark, you know, made you think about some of these things through the discussions, you know, from, you know, why aren't you reading your Bible as regularly as you should? Oh, we're so busy. You've got so much to do. You know, got to go to work, and then we come home. We're so tired, you know, and got to get the children ready for school. And, you know, we got all these things going on. Huh, how do you expect me to find any time to read my... Well, confess your sin to the Lord. You can always find time to read. You don't have to read the whole Bible in one day, remember. You know, even if you just read 1 chapter a day, but read that Word of God. Confess your sin to the Lord. Get that relationship with the Lord back in good order. So it is possible. You know, it's possible to lose your closeness to God. And then we have that conference. He restoreth my soul. David had experienced that. He had lost that closeness with God. But that relationship was restored. Now, not only is it possible to lose your closeness to God, but it's also possible to get lost. And we need the good shepherd to lead us. The good shepherd will lead the sheep in the right path. And the Lord, of course, leads us. And it's interesting. When it comes to sheep, they need to be led. You know, here in Australia, when you have these big cattle drives, you don't lead the cattle. You drive them. But when it comes to sheep, they need to be led. In other words, the shepherd doesn't stand behind the sheep with his club and his, you know, rod and his staff and drive them on. It doesn't work. He goes first. He leads them. And they follow. And that's ultimately, of course, also what God did when he led his people out of Egypt. Well, we're not going to go into 40 years of wilderness wanderings, but we do know how God led his people. There was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, to lead them by day. And there was a pillar of fire to lead them by night. So God very clearly led his people. And the cloud and the fire were indicative to the people, were an indication to them that God was with them. And it's interesting because when you read about the dedication of the temple, the cloud came upon them. Again, indicating to the people God was with them. God was leading them. Sadly, of course, the people at that point had already turned away from the theocracy to a monarchy because they had already asked for a king. But you see, it's possible for us to get lost, and we need to be brought back on the right trip, on the right, on the right road, on the right path. And we need a good shepherd to guide us. You know, what's so nice, this particular trip to the U.S., now most of the BP churches I can just drive to because we visited them many, many times. But, you know, when you stay with different people, not always sure of directions. So our oldest son loaned us a GPS. And it was so nice, you know. In 9/10 of a mile, keep left, you know. And, okay, good, you know, move over. You know, it's like 3 lanes or whatever, so move over. You know, get in the right lane. You know, we had someone to guide us there. And this was very, very nice. And then, you know, sometimes, keep on this road for 195 miles. Okay. So then she just shut up and went to sleep, I think. You know, when the 194 miles were finished, she woke up and said, in 1 mile, you know. Yeah, but it's helpful, isn't it, to have something like that. But we need somebody to guide us. So God guided his people, and God certainly guided us. You know, you might even think of Proverbs 3:6, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we see a wonderful guidance there on the part of the Lord. He will direct us. So he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So he leads. He doesn't drive us, but he is ahead, and we are to follow him. And if we acknowledge him, if we follow him, he will direct our path. So a very beautiful realization there. So it's possible to lose your closeness to God. It's possible to get lost, and we need the good shepherd to lead us. So we see that as we look at verse 3. But then we do want to go on to verse 4 as well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then the second half, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I read about a woman whose son was killed in an accident. And she was very much, you know, troubled, which is understandable if you lose somebody close to you. And she absolutely refused to talk to anybody. And she just shut herself up in her house. She closed the door, you know, and that was it. And pastor managed to get into the house. And, you know, instead of talking to her, he just sat with her for some time. And then he started to read from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he went on. And then he came to the verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And when he came to that part, thou art with me, a smile flickered on her lips. And she said, I see it differently now. It was different because the Lord was there. And she realized that. You know, I must say, Over the years, I've conducted a number of funerals, funerals in the United States. I've officiated funerals in Singapore, you know, in Australia. I've officiated funerals in Melbourne, in Adelaide, in Perth. You know, a lot of funerals, and sometimes people ask you, you know, you do so many funerals, you know, does it become a routine? And the answer is no, it does not become routine. It never becomes routine. You never get accustomed to death. And so every funeral is different. Every funeral is special. You need to spend time. I remember Reverend Timothy Toe saying whenever there was a death in the church, he said basically minimum 3 days that would be taken up with spending time with the family, visiting, officiating. Of course, Singapore, you have your, you know, evening services, your vigil services every night. But you know, everyone is different. But through it all, we know Thou art with me. And what a blessing that is. We may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm not going to talk about that valley or the shadow of death or anything like that, but just to realize we have that assurance, Thou art with me. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that He is with us. Whatever. See, there is power in His presence. He is with us. That's a comfort. But, you know, as you go on, it is even further explained, Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The rod, that was like a club, probably about, you know, about yay long, 2-3 feet long. It would be like a club that could be used. David, we know, used that club. He killed a lion, he killed a bear, we're told in the, you know, in the Bible. So he killed a lion and a bear using that club to do that. So, you know, that was kind of like a defensive weapon that he had. But then he also had the staff. And the staff would actually be, you know, like 2-2.5 meters. So that would be very long. And, you know, at the end there would be a hook or a crook, shepherd's crook, often referred to. And he could use that if a sheep fell down. Sometimes they would fall down. He would be able to kind of lift the sheep up. He wouldn't put it around the neck. That would be a little bit hard on the breathing. But you know, he'd lift it around the body where the arms are, or the front legs are, and he'd be able to hook it, and he'd be able to rescue the sheep that way. So the rod and the staff, one would be for defending, the other one would be for rescuing and saving their lives. So he was able to do that. And that, of course, you know, you can't imagine, you know, the sheep's thinking. But sheep are basically, they're pretty stupid animals. You know, if you leave a dog or a cat, they will often find their own way home. Sheep would never do that. They'll never find their way home. You know, I once said sheep are dumb animals, meaning stupid. And it was being interpreted into Chinese. Sheep are animals that can't speak. You know, they interpreted to dumb as unable to speak. So anyway, you know, they're not able to speak, and they can't express how they feel. But, you know, maybe instinctively they know when they see that shepherd with his club that is there to protect. And then they see that big rod, you know, and that hook on there. Well, he can always lift me up if I fall down. So that is something there. So there is a comfort. You know, and in a similar way, you know, don't we all have car insurance? You know, you don't dare drive your car without insurance. Well, the car insurance, you hope that you never need it. But it's a comfort to know that you have it. So if you do get into a prang, now that's a good Aussie word, if you do get into an accident, you know that you have that insurance to take care of you. You know, and that thing, it's the comfort that is there. You know, you have fire insurance on your home. It's a comfort. You pray, Lord, I pray that my house will never burn down. You know, we had an email from our daughter yesterday, and she said, oh, I've been over at the house, you know, the place where we're living, and she said, I've checked, and everything is fine, you know, and I took the mail out of the letterbox, you know, and so she'd been there twice, she said, and she was done again. So, you know, it's good to have that comfort that somebody is looking after the place. Somebody is taking care. You have insurance for your need. You know, and in the same way, we have the Lord. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There was a poet, a hymn writer, and his name was, as you can see, James Montgomery. He was from England. He was born in 1771, died in 1854. And he wrote these words, God is my salvation. What foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near. Though hosts encamp around me, firm in the fight I stand. What terror can confound me? With God at my right hand. How true. What terror can confound me with God at my right hand? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that our God is the God of all comfort. That's our God. He is the God of all comfort. And so we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Does your soul need to be restored? This Bible camp, this Bible conference is the place to restore your fellowship with the Lord. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Our God is the God of all comfort. Amen. Now, we do want to spend time again in prayer this morning. You know, we often take for granted the driving, but we must not take it for granted. Jacob and Marilyn, as they came yesterday, mentioned that there was an accident on the northbound lanes of the freeway. They were coming south. They said it was on the radio. It was on TV last night, if you saw the news. I took a quick look at the newspaper this morning. It took up quite a sizable article in the newspaper today, but it was an accident. An 80-year-old driver somehow was going south and he veered across and ended up in the northbound lane. You know, the Kanana Freeway, that's quite a big stretch between the two sets of lanes, but going all the way across and hit a car head on, and that car, the driver died. The man that was driving the car that veered off, the last reports, he was still alive. That's the other person who died. You know, and you can do everything right, and you can be perfectly straight, but you may be dead right. You know, and that's something to need to really thank God that all of us got here safely. And we do have some day visitors that have already arrived. So they must have left at 5 o'clock this morning to get here, you know. But we thank the Lord that they're here safely. So as we go to prayer, let us again thank God for his protection. Thank God for his safety. Pray for others that may be driving, those that have to go back again today, that the Lord will be with them as well. So let's pray for that. Let's continue to pray for the speaker, Pastor Mark. And remember, we haven't said much about it, but you know, Pastor Mark has mentioned after the evening message, the children's meetings too. So we must remember the children's meetings as well. And I think there were, 21 children registered for this conference. That's a lot of children. So we need to pray for the children as well, for the children's meetings, that the Lord will bless there as well. So pray for the speaker, for safety, for good health. Some of you are cold, I know. You know, some of you may get other problems. You know, you eat strange food and may affect your stomach. You know, it's got all kinds of things. So pray that the nurse will not have too much work, or our doctors will not have too much work while we're here, that the Lord will keep us all in good health. Pray for the discussions. I was talking briefly to Pastor Mark. He said discussions just went on and on. So must be enjoying the discussions, you know, so this is good. So let's pray one for another. And then, of course, yesterday you received the prayer request from the church. If you still have that with you, use these as well, you know, for prayer. Because we missed the usual Wednesday evening prayer meeting, but we do have the prayer request sheets. So I have it in my Bible and keep it in my Bible, so during the week I can always refer back to that. So this time we'll do the same thing we did yesterday. Split up in small groups, 3, 4, 5, and then let's go to prayer.